Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, Jesus is teaching us about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, and he also calls him the Spirit of Truth. So I'm just going to lay it out for you, okay? Here's the key today. The Holy Spirit comforts you, he helps you by convicting you of the truth. Okay, the truth, first of all, of your sin, but more importantly, the truth of your salvation. So this is how the Holy Spirit's going to help you and comfort you, by convicting you of the truth. The truth, which you all know, is comforting, and I can explain this in a couple different ways. It's always comforting and helpful to know what's true. Like, for instance, when you're not feeling well, and maybe you've gone to the doctor, they can't exactly figure out what the problem is, they've done some tests and so forth, and that's very uncomfortable to not know what's going on. And so we all understand that even if the truth is going to be something that I'm not going to like, even if it's something that, is kind of scary, it's still going to be comforting to know the truth, to know what's really going on, what's really wrong with me. Another case of this is in marriages. Husbands and wives often think that they'll help their spouse by keeping some things from them. Like, it'll be easier for them if they don't know about this, or better for them if they don't know about this, but it's not. It makes things worse. And anyone who's been married knows that the truth, even if it's truth that we don't really want to hear, is comforting, because then we know what the problem is. More often than not, a spouse already knows something is wrong anyway. So to know the truth is better. It's comforting. And the same thing is true anytime with your friends or your family. We often think, well, we're going to hide certain things, keep them from them. It'll help them. It will make them feel better, but it won't. The truth is always comforting. So in a general way, it's comforting to know what the problem is. It's comforting to know what happened in a certain situation. It's comforting to know exactly what someone said. It's comforting to know what's possible and what's not possible. The truth is just that way. It's comforting to know what's true. Okay, now then, that's all build up so that I can tell you, on the flip side, there's no comfort in lies. They are not comforting or helpful at all. Lies deceive us, they hurt us, they mislead us. And I want to talk to you this morning about a number of lies that get floated around all the time. And we just almost accept them like, oh yeah, we've heard that 1,000 times. But they can actually be quite harmful to people. One very, very common lie that we tell ourselves and the world pushes around all the time is this: that all people deep down are good. All humanity, right, in its very essence is good. We're all good people. And we say this because, hey, it sounds good, it makes us feel good, we want to be able to believe in the goodness of humanity and all that, but the problem is it's not true. And the more we keep telling this to people, and the more we keep believing it ourselves, the more we're misled and deceived, and the more we end up getting hurt. Because the real truth is that deep down we are not good, deep down we are sinful. So I want to be careful, okay? There's definitely one sense that it's true that we are good, and that's the fact that God created every one of us. Okay, so if that's what you're talking about, yes, absolutely. God, all of us are good by the fact that we are created by God. But we're not good in the sense that deep down in our conscience and in our heart, we always want to do good. That's not true. Okay, and we need to be honest about this, because if we don't, we end up hurting ourselves and other people. From the moment we're conceived, of course, we inherit sin from our parents, from Adam and Eve, all the way down to them, right? So our hearts are filled with things like selfishness and narcissism and greed and envy and hatred. Now, thankfully, most of us from early on are taught to restrain those things, okay, so that the world is not complete chaos. But that doesn't mean, just because you and I can restrain some of those things, it doesn't mean that deep down we're all good people. Okay, deep down, all of us know something is wrong. And that's comforting to know. It's not comforting to have to try to always pretend that everything is okay and that deep down we're really good. Okay? The comfort, what's comforting is the truth, to know that there's a problem. Another lie that's often told is that you can do anything that you set your mind to and that you work hard enough for. Now this, you know, obviously this can be used for good intentions, right? We want to motivate the next generation, you know, to dream big, and that's okay, that's good. But it's actually not true, and we need to be careful with how we use that. You cannot actually do anything you want to do. If I work really hard and set my mind on it, can I live forever? I can't. And actually, if I believe that, that's going to be really bad, really harmful for me. Okay? I have to know the truth, and that will be comforting to know that I'm going to die like everyone else in the world has, except Jesus, of course, or except if Jesus comes first again. So we cannot delude ourselves into thinking, you know, that we can do all these things. Or can I keep my hair from turning gray or white or from falling out in places, you know, if I just set my mind to it? No, I can't, right? Now I can disguise it, and there are plenty of people who want to sell you products, right? They swear are going to work, but you know, there's no way you can stop that. I'm sorry. You know? You set your mind to it all you want. You can't change it. Or can I grow wings and fly around everywhere so I don't have to bother with cars, you know, and I don't have to bother with walking or running? That'd be pretty nice. But the truth is, no, actually, I can't. There are actually some things you just cannot do. And it's better to know that truth and to accept it, that we are limited. Okay? Another big lie that's very similar but a little different is that you can be whatever and whoever you want to be. And I intentionally am bringing this one up this morning because I want you to hear me talking about it. We cannot be whatever we want to be. Okay? I cannot be, for instance, a cow if I want to be a cow. Not going to happen. I can't be a 7-year-old if I want to be a 7-year-old. Can't happen. I can't be a 7-foot-2-inch NBA basketball center. Okay? Sorry. I'm not quite tall enough, and I never will be. See, I can't be African. I can't be Asian. I can't be French descent, even if I wanted to be. I'm just not. And if I try to lie and pretend I'm any of those things, that's not going to help me. It's not going to be any comfort. And you probably all know why I'm bringing this up. Because right now our country is struggling mightily with this. Okay, there's one really big lie right along this line that's saying I can be a woman even if I'm born a man. And I can be a man even if I'm born a woman. And that is a lie. It's just simply not true. And it's not comforting or helpful to anyone for us to keep perpetuating that lie and deluding people into thinking that they actually can change sex or change gender. That is a lie, and it's not helpful. It's very harmful. And the whole trouble right now that we're having, you know, over, oh, which bathroom can they use, understand that's just clouding a much deeper issue. That is, who can be a man and who can be a woman? And the truth is, you just can't pick it. You're given it. Hey, these lies are harmful. Okay, it's not okay to just say, well, let anybody be whatever they want to be. No, some things actually hurt people, and we need to not perpetuate those lies. Lies don't help or comfort. Okay, so now I've given you enough bad news, right? Enough bad lies. Well, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit comes specifically so that we don't have to live in lies, but so that we can discover the truth. He comes to convict us of the truth. Now, I'm gonna briefly explain those three truths that he convicts us. But first, I want you to just consider for a moment the word convict, because it's kind of an interesting word in English. It's in our gospel reading. He says the Holy Spirit's going to convict you concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, convict in the Greek, now I'm going to start with the Greek, the word there is like prove that something is true or prove that something is false on the other hand. Or one dictionary said to show something for what it is. Okay, so that's to convict something has to do with showing what's true. And so where do we usually use that word? In like a case, in a legal deal. If somebody is convicted, it was proven to be true that they did X, Y, or Z, right? It was proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And so what do we call that person? A convict. So understand this word a little bit. If I'm going to convict you of something, I'm going to show you something that is true. Okay? So if you come away ever from church and you say, wow, I was really convicted this morning, what you're really saying is, I was shown something that's really true. So what is true? Here comes the Holy Spirit from Jesus to us to convict us, and he's going to show us what's true. And first of all, it's Jesus says to convict the world concerning sin. Okay? This is why I started off with that lie that we're all deep down good people. Well, that's wrong. So the Holy Spirit first, the first thing he has to do for you and I is just show us the truth that we're all not good, righteous people by nature who just sometimes do little bad things. No, to show us the truth that we are sinners. Deep down in our heart of hearts that something is wrong. That we don't believe in God as we should. We don't trust him. That we make our own gods. That we think we can do whatever we want and be whatever we want and have whatever we want. This is not good or helpful or right or comforting. It's wrong. So you will be comforted by the truth. Okay? That not trying to deny it or cover it up or trying to make up for it, but just confessing it and saying, Lord, have mercy. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And then the Holy Spirit comes with this next wonderful truth, this time to convict you of what's right, to convict you of how to be made right in God's Son, Jesus Christ. See, you will be comforted and helped, not if I tell you, oh, here's how you can fix everything that's wrong in your life. That's not going to comfort you. That's a lie. But what will comfort you is when you hear that Jesus has already fixed it. That's our comfort. Jesus is. Jesus doesn't give us a bunch of fancy lies and say he's going to make us feel all better. No, he comes in his word and sacrament and he says, I make you better. I forgive you all your sins and I give you eternal life and I give you my Holy Spirit and I give you holy baptism, and holy communion, holy absolution. Jesus works in the truth and it's comforting. And finally, the last thing Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do is convict about judgment. And this is an important one too. This kind of has to do with the last day. See, we might look out at the world and think, uh-oh, the devil is winning, right? Because we see all the evil and the wars and we see all these terrible violence and hatred and all this stuff. So the Holy Spirit also has to convict us of the truth that actually, no, Jesus has won. Okay? And he will come on the last day and finally we will see that victory in all its fullness. So we need that conviction too, to that truth that no, the devil is not winning despite how the world may look to you at times. It's comforting to know the truth. You remember Jonah from the Old Testament. This was a great example of this. He's obviously the guy who gets swallowed by the fish. That's what we remember. But God told him to go to these wicked people in Nineveh and tell them the truth. And he didn't want to do it. I mean, he did not want to go and tell them the truth. Nineveh, all you have to do is think like Las Vegas, okay? Nineveh was like this great place. Everybody's having a good time, right? And he's thinking, I'm not going to go in there and tell them the truth. They'll kill me. They'll slaughter me. So he doesn't want to go. But he finally does, of course, after God, you know, puts him in a fish and all this kind of stuff. And he goes there and he tells them, repent. And what do? They believe it. They believe the truth. And it's comforting to them to finally hear that they are sinners and that God loves them and that he will forgive them their sins. And all of a sudden, to Jonah's great surprise, they're all repenting of their sin and turning away from it. And it's unbelievable. That's what the truth does. It's comforting. It surprises you. You know, it exposes lies for what they really are. Or what about Zacchaeus? He's another kind of similar example. You know, Zacchaeus was another guy who was living it up. I mean, he was loaded. He was this chief tax collector, tons of money. Luke specifically says he was rich. You know, so he probably had everything he wanted, right? So who wants to go tell Zacchaeus, your life is kind of wrong there. Nobody wants to do that, right? But he's got this one problem. Remember what Zacchaeus' problem is? He's short. So this is a problem. Jesus comes by and he has to climb up in a sycamore tree to see him. And Jesus sees him and says, hey, I'm coming to your house. And you would think Zacchaeus would like not want to hear this, right? Because it's going to ruin his whole life. But actually, he loves it because the truth is comforting and it's helpful. And what does it cause him to do? He gives away half of his money to the poor. And then everybody he had defrauded, he restored their money fourfold. That's what the truth does. It comforts you. It helps you. I mean, it's not just this downer to find out, oh, we're these horrible sinners. It's this joyous, truthful, comforting thing to know that there's something wrong and that God has made it right in His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, friends in Christ, let's not lie to each other and say, hey, you can be anything you want, do anything you want, you know, have anything you want. That doesn't comfort or help anyone. Rather, we know the truth. The truth is that the world has a deep-rooted problem. We all do. And the greater truth is that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to make it right again, to make us right through the forgiveness of our sins, to comfort us with the truth of our salvation, so that we can be like the people of Nineveh, like Zacchaeus himself, and rejoice with great joy. And I cannot describe this any better way for you than to just read you a little bit again of that Old Testament reading from Isaiah, right? To know you're forgiven and loved by Jesus, your Savior. And Isaiah says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you would comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.